4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Okay, as you know, I'm looking particularly at the desegregation issues back in the 60s. And I interviewed John Lutzen about 3 weeks ago, I guess it was, I see. And one of the things he said is that, it's a quote from him, "I really believe we could have an integrated school system if we took it slower." And I was curious, what could have been done differently during that time?
Boy, oh boy, that's an understatement of the day. Exhibit A would be, my exhibit A would be Bankhead section.
Mm-hmm.
I recall that during the time that we discussing that, of course, integrating schools, how we go about it, I insisted that we should integrate both with. We don't need to wait, give people a chance to move out.
Mm-hmm.
And my statement has been proven to be right. We wait a while and people move out. The Bankhead section, that's about 2 miles from here, Bankhead High School, and that entire section there was, I'm going to guess, 95% white. School was 100% white.
Mm-hmm.
And it took about 5 years, if I make no mistake. It was, I don't want to put the years on it, but I'm going to say it was somewhere between 69 and 74, 75 that we really started trying to integrate schools here. And at that time, when we started integrating schools, as I said, that school was 100% white. About 5 years later, 65 to 70% of the whites in the community had moved up. And when the school integrated, the school was so-called integrated, it was probably 60-65% black. And everything showed me that when the schools get to be 65-70% black, they're going to be 95% black, and about 3 or 4 years later, they're going to be 100% black.
Well, the resegregation started, that's for sure.
Yeah. So I don't think that going slower would have the difference that going fast would have.
Okay.
It can't be any worse. It could, if we had gone fast, at least we would have known that people were running, I'm going to use the word running, basically because they didn't want to integrate. We went slow. We don't know whether the schools were not integrated because of the slowness due to the fact that parents moved out of the community,
mm-hmm.
or whether they whether it's due to the fact that they want the kids to go to school with how much they use black kids, because that was not.
Do you think he impeded the integration efforts at all? What's in terms of his policies?
Yeah. Slowness. If his policy was one of going slow, it certainly did. I think it did.
I know he talked about
it. I'm not saying that it was in his heart, or it was that he was not being sincere when he used his method, but I certainly think that his method impeded school integration. It certainly allowed people a chance to move out of the communities. And when the people moved out of the communities and we decided then go to wholesale integration, what they call wholesale integration, there was nobody that integrated yet.
Yeah, I spoke to Alonzo Krimler. Said also, but by the time he took over, there was no whites. What about Freedom of Choice plans?
Oh, Freedom of Choice plans, as far as I'm concerned, was terrible for integrating schools.
Yeah.
Now, I have no problem with freedom of choice as such, but if we were going to integrate schools, that is, you're going to make a determined effort, concentrated effort, to put white kids and black kids in the same school building, then you can't have a choice. You got to send them to the schools that are in their neighborhoods. Maybe I'm sound like I'm contradictory here, but my feeling has always been, and I was not the superintendent, I'm always aware of the fact that the guy who's in the position where a certain role is supposed to be performed certainly has a better opportunity to perform that role than one who's not in the position. I was a school board member from 65 to 69. I was not the superintendent. But, what's my thought now?
About the freedom of choice.
He should have, it should have had the children within a geographical area go to the school.
You mean a non-racial geographical area?
That's right, non-racial geographical area to go to school in that area.
Yeah.
Now, I've never had any problem, basically, with all blacks going to all black school if it's in that area. Mm-hmm. Everybody in the area go to that school.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought when the schools of white children and black children live in an area, at least they were assigned to school, they should go to that school.
Yeah.
This busing, I never did agree. I don't agree with the busing across geographical lines in order to achieve racial integration. I never did agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, again, I'm not trying to say I was a prophet, but I think that my basic feelings about integration have been going on.
So you would have supported things like non-racial geographic zoning or PED schools or magnet schools, things like that, I guess?
Yeah, if the magnet schools concept, as I understand it, sounds good, but in some instances it has been used to send children across geographical lines, and to that extent I didn't like it, but otherwise I don't. I would support.
One of the things I sort of began to see is that freedom of choice allowed a lot of whites to escape desegregation. And there was one case, for example, in the Kirkwood School, I don't remember that. But right before the black kids were ready to arrive in September, Lutzen sent a letter out to all the white kids in the school saying that they had a choice to move. And they all moved.
Yeah.
And by the time the blacks arrived, there was no white stuff.
How well do I remember a lot around that, sent around that school, that was all that. People out there in a particular church built classrooms onto that church, getting ready for integration, I suppose. At that time, I think they had decided to pull that church out of public school if and when integration came about. Mm-hmm. And for a while, they operated. Have you been out there? You know what this section is?
I know where I'm working.
You better look at that school. It's a big church out there.
Yeah.
Of course, it's now 20 years removed, 20 years old, but that must be 25 basic classrooms attached to that church.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't intend to integrate as I saw it.
But this is a white church.
This was a white church. That's right. It's a white church. It's black now.
Well,
blacks are taking over now, but...
It seems that the Freedom Church has allowed the white kids to run off to another school in the area.
Right. Yes.
I mean, it wasn't... I can see your point. I mean, I think if they did it fast, integration,
they
would have a chance to run. So. How about... Was it difficult for a black student to transfer to white school right now?
Yes.
On the freedom of choice.
Yes, because Dr. Letson has a policy. Let's see if I can recall. He had three factors that would determine whether or not a black could move from a predominantly black from the black school to the white school.
Mm-hmm.
One was choice, one was proximity, and the other one was availability of space. And if one factor didn't catch him, the other two did. If the other two didn't, the third one did.
Yeah.
In other words, it was always, he was too far, he lived too far from the school, or there wasn't enough space in the school. It was one of the three. If the kids met two of the requirements, they couldn't meet the third.
So he really did put blocks up to...
Oh, yeah. Sure.
This thing about availability space, my impression reading through the material is that a lot of the white schools were sort of being underused during this time. Black schools were overcrowded. And the cutoff enrollment for the white school was much less than the black school. In other words, they would claim that the white school was already filled up. Black schools couldn't come with it.
So did Lesson talk with you about, Dr. Lesson talked to you about in him, jar to.
He didn't really speak that much about that.
That was nothing but another camouflage. So, if you want to transfer a funny scooter in which the recipe was in the jar to one that was a minority, under certain conditions, you might transfer. But again, that was put up as a smokescreen, as far as I'm concerned, to allow parents in the community to have an opportunity to be able to. I think his integration plan, however sincere he might have been, was designed to give the people a chance to move out of the community, so they would have to integrate. That's my first thing.
He was really, when I spoke to him, he was really defensive about what he did. And he talked about tipping points a lot. That he had to be very careful not to put too many blacks into the school above 30% because then all the lights would run. So he wanted to keep it below a tipping point.
But that's, you see, that's following the principle of, I can't pay Dr. T the same amount of money I can pay Mr. Brown for doing the same job. Because Dr. Tate won't know what to do with this money if he gets it. That kind of, I don't know how to label that principle, but I said that it was not his responsibility to try to safeguard Tippett. He talked about that quite a bit in his meetings. Dr. Letson, and bless his soul, Attorney Pete Letson, were two people who, frankly, ought to take the blame, if they get the blame, for the vast majority of white people, or white children, not the United States system. Because without having looked at them, without having been in sessions with them where they might have come up with their plans, that is Mr. Letson, Dr. Letson came with his son, supported by Latimer, that's the attorney. And Mr. Latimer came with a son that he proposed to Dr. Letson, and Dr. Letson supported it and presented it as a plan. But I was, if my perception, my intuition, or anything tells me anything, it's that those two people were together on much of what happened in the system.
In other words, they went so slow that they allowed the whites to escape. You would suggest that. A fast policy, those whites are going to run anyway.
That's right.
Yes. Unless just, integrate the
system. Well, to me, it's like you're going to court, and you're found guilty of something. I go to court, and I'm found guilty of something. And the judge says, okay, Dr. Tate, you're guilty. And the sheriff, take this man and let him serve his sentence with all the liberty of speed. I've always laughed at that, all the liberty.
Yeah.
And that's what that going slow thing was to me. And that was the philosophy that was used under that place. Go slow. And going slow was not for the purpose of integrating schools. Going slow was for the purpose of giving people a chance. I'm as convinced of that as I can.
Well, yeah, I saw a lot of signs. Of course, he doesn't admit to that, of course.
No,
but I saw a lot of signs. I've been going through the Board of Education records, and it seems to be a lot of material that suggests that the whole idea was to stall as long as possible. So that by the time the 73 rolled around and Dr. Krim took over, there was 80% black and maybe 20% white. A little quote from you in 1969. You said, "Ever since I have been on the school board, I have not sensed a real integration policy. Although I've asked for one, choice, proximity, and space don't constitute factors for integrating or for circumnavigation of it."
Yeah.
Pretty much agree. I mean, you think there was no real school integration plan during that time?
I stand by that right now. That was not, I said, I use the word, that was not in this. So, Dr. Lesser might have been sincere. And what he was doing, I can't tell what a person's makeup is. He might have been sincere in his idea that to go slow would keep us from reaching this so-called tipping point and therefore whites won't run out, or we'll have a real school integration plan. He might have been sincere in that, but everything I knew had taught me that it would be just the opposite. And as I said, in 1987, I'm born out to be right.
Well, see, he claims he was right. He claims he went too fast. I mean, his first brother crossed to go too fast, and therefore he was born out right. He should have gone slower. It's all the way over there.
No, well, I've said it. He was wrong. Well, excuse me. I mean, you know, he might have been sincere, but,
yeah.
Well, we don't have integration.
Yeah, well, that's right.
And for whatever reason, he was the one who was the navigator. Well, he was in it there. Pilot.
No, he was.
And we don't have it. And I think Dr. Letson's plan was wrong.
Well, that would have been a way to prevent white flight. What do you think could have been done?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. See, I would have no way of knowing. Have no way of knowing whether the people would have moved out of the community had we had immediate integration. And how do you prevent white flight? Well, one way to prevent white flight was for blacks never to insist on school integration. Another way to prevent white flight was for blacks not to insist that they'll have blacks representing them in city government, or school board, and other public positions. If blacks had not felt that they should be, if blacks had not pushed for, had they not insisted that they ought to be eligible for and a part of the governmental system,
you think we would have had white flight?
Oh, yeah, they think we'd have back what you had in the 50s and 40s. And that's,
yeah, that's right. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. See, now, from the time I was born, which was 1922, and I'm a Georgian by birth, my home is Everson, Georgia, I've never left the state except to study and visit. We had, of course, the status quo. But from 1922 to 1939 is when I finished high school. My high school in Everton and all the customs, traditions, and mores in Everton were about the same. 22 to 39. Up in the 54, customs, traditions, mores were about the same.
Right.
We didn't have any white flight. And in that time, we didn't have any white flight in Atlanta until integration.
Yeah.
And so I'd have to say, what are the factors that were prevalent after the Supreme Court decision that were not there before? You know, that tells us, to me, says that, well, let me say this to you. Now, I don't mean to be at all, if I make racist statements, if I just make it, I'm not intending to do that. I have analyzed this school integration situation in several ways. And I've come up with, number one, this point, that generally now, when I make these statements, I say 80% of people are falling in the category, other 20%, but it's not the absolute thing. But generally, white people in America, not only in Georgia, but white people in America do not intend for their children to go to school with blacks. So that is in the public, the elementary, secondary school. That's everything would point to that. Now, on the college level and the graduate level, we'll give it that. But they're adults in any way. College level, to a lesser extent, they're not as concerned. But on the public school level, they don't intend for their children to go to school with blacks. Another thing is that white people do not intend to stay in the same neighborhood with blacks. Everything points to
that. No, you're right. I mean,
that's the way it is. And now, I'm not trying to castigate anybody, but that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
I have I won't say it, but it doesn't do the school. It has nothing to do with school and what we're talking about. But I know some people. I know a black fellow now who had a tremendous job working with one of the big crimes in town. started off making $75,000 a year. So
he came to Atlanta, and he came to see me, and I said, well, yeah, fine, congratulations on having that job and all. And he said, where should I move? I said, well, where should you move? Cascade, Valley Heights, et cetera. And I noticed it took him 4 or 5 months to find out that he was going to leave. But after a while, he settled on, I had already told my wife, I said, this guy doesn't want to live wherever I live. He would live somewhere else. And eventually, when he finally bought his house out in the area off of Highway 285 in the vicinity of the new Northside Hospital. I didn't know. It's all right.
Yeah.
I think he paid $225 for the house.
Great. No problem. Beautiful house. I've been to it.
But within 14 months, he lost a job here. And he has been to me several times and wants me to find another job. And I told him, I said, well, I don't think he lost that job because of your inefficiency. I think he lost that job because some of your friends haven't treated you well. I said, some of your friends haven't liked it because you're out there. And I said, now this is playing a major role. I can't prove this.
Sure.
I can't prove it. But just as sure as I'm sitting here, and I said this to him, some of your friends are going down and told some of your bosses that, how you doing out there in the community? And see, now they can't make you not live there, but they can cut off the job, keeps you from buying a place. We are still in a dilemma here, and then I may be getting away from school immigration. I didn't intend to leak in this direction, but there are just some basic factors about school immigration and about people's attitudes and philosophies about race.
Mm-hmm.
That would make it necessary for me to say that I don't basically want to. I mean, many people don't want to live together on an equal basis.
This is still a segregated city.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I can see it. There's one other thing I came across. I was speaking to some people who were involved in the SWAP organization back in the 60s with Southwest Alliance for Progress. And they were trying to save the Southwest High School and was integrated in Cascade Heights. And what they told me is that they felt they could have kept the whites in the neighborhood, and the whites did stay for a few years, if the Board of Education school system had poured more money into Southwest High, upgraded it, and instead they got no help from the school system at all in terms of keeping that school on a certain level that would have pleased both, I guess, the whites and the blacks in the neighborhood. In other words, the school deteriorated, whites moved out. Do you see any effort at all on the part of the school system during that time to particularly pay attention to schools in transitional neighborhoods? In other words, keep an integrated community?
Not over Southwest, but Northside.
Yeah.
They continue to put special programs in Northside.
Northside,
yeah. Of course, they're busing black children in Northside in order to keep the school open, even now. But they seem to have made a special effort, I guess, because of Dinsmore, or whoever his predecessor was, with that, what do you call it? It's a special fine arts program, dance group.
Right.
They made a special effort to have a special program that would keep that school integrated. That is not due to the integration that's in effect that Northside High School now is in effect because of the special arts program.
Right.
It is not because of history, math, science.
Right. It's a magnet school for arts.
That's right. Right. So, excuse me, I don't consider that to be what I would call bona fide pure school integration. Mr. Science was our basic person, the basic person we might have to be an evidence in every school. And sure, ought to go to those schools on an equal basis. That shouldn't have to be a special program in order to
you know, to save the people, so the school stays hungry.
Well, I found a few cases where the geographic zoning would have suggested the white kids go to a black elementary, black high school, it was the majority black high school, but because of freedom of choice, they were allowed to go to a nearby white high school and just avoid integration altogether.
That's
right. A lot of the freedom of choice was used for that, apparently.
That's right.
How about, Letson talked a lot about the problem of the overcrowded black schools, and he suggested two things, that the schools are so overcrowded that desegregation was doomed right from the start because there were so many black students they couldn't put them every place without messing up the tipping point. And that was one thing he said. The other thing he said was that the white schools were already filled. There was no sense making the white schools crowded also just to siphon off people from the black schools.
Well, I can say this, that the black students were very proud.
You were a double socialist.
But I would, without praising, I think it was due to my insistence that we finally got some barracks at some of these schools. The rooms on the side of the main building, in the back of the main building, to relieve the old crowd. I insisted that we didn't have some of the black schools, we didn't have even at that late day, we did not have enough classroom space. We didn't have books, didn't have adequate supplies, and I guess going along with that was equipment. I went into many of the schools, and we just didn't have it there. And it was ridiculous to think of a school that was built for 1,600 kids to have 3,200 kids.
Oh, yeah.
And, now, my response to what you said a minute ago about Dr. Letson saying there were so many children in the black schools that you transferred them to, I guess, become the white schools or to the white schools. And it was doomed from the beginning. Well, integration might have been doomed from the beginning, but I felt that the overcrowded black student meant that education was doomed from the beginning. Okay, what do you do? Do you try to hold off integration? And integration, that's all it meant. Integration at the expense of education. In other words, the philosophy here would mean to me that the kids were overcrowded, he knew that.
Yeah.
And so if they're overcrowded and the educational offerings are less than they ought to be, that's all right.
Yeah.
That's exactly that. That's what it means to be okay. Yeah. But if we integrate and people don't, white people don't stay or keep their children in school, then that's all wrong.
Yeah.
So, you know, what's our choice? And so, no, not only in the Atlanta school system, but I used to work there in the United States. So I do have a pretty fat picture of what I saw existed in that was in Dalton, Elberton, and all these other places. And, the pattern's about the same.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to show you something you didn't ask me about. I'm not going to give it to you because I haven't done what I want to do with it. It so happens that I still have this. I was looking at it a few days ago. This is it now. It's a record of right enrollment.
Yeah.
And school systems of Georgia. And you pick out anyone you want. Anyone. Doesn't make any difference. There are about five in there. I know you wouldn't hit on one of the five. There's about five in there where we are employing students and teachers on an equal basis.
This is now?
What's the date on
86, this? Okay.
I have 87. I haven't completed this yet.
Let me show you what I'm talking about just to give you an idea.
Let's look at, let's just take, put my hand, let's look at the book sign. Book sign. We had 1,764 black students, 52%. We had 1,100 white kids. 38%. Why would I get that one? This one was so blatant until the fellow didn't punish us this afternoon. See? That's a whole blank space. He didn't even, when I said the fellow, the superintendent cleaned this form, didn't fill it out. I know something's wrong there, but my experience would tell me. Let's look at one where they did fill it out. Let's look at where's B? B had 14, 6, 11 blacks, 10,352 whites. So 58% black students, 41% white. Here we go. 605 black teachers, 748% white teachers. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, I saw an article in the paper 3 days ago that the Bibb County can't find black teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And I laughed. I said to my wife, I said, excuse me, I said, damn it, I told them 10 years ago when they wouldn't hire black teachers. See, they wouldn't have black teachers who were coming out of college. And this, and when I said Bibb, not only Bibb, the entire state, this is a pattern. Now, again, I'm going to excuse 20%.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what 20% it is that I've excused, but all the people are not intentionally doing this. But it is, it's a pattern that 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when we had black teachers, and when blacks were interested in teaching, they couldn't do anything else, so we always went toward teaching, but they got so they wouldn't hire them. I said, school boards would not hire black teachers. The whole effort was, let's get rid of black teachers. If black teachers don't know, and this is the general, they don't know anything, they don't know enough to teach whites. We knew enough to teach black students, but we didn't know enough to teach white students. So we're not going to hire them.
Yeah.
So when black teachers who were black education majors, leaving college, weren't able to find jobs, they began to, number one, gravitate to other professions,
mm-hmm.
other jobs. Number two, they stopped going into education. Why does a guy go into school to prepare himself
sure.
for a field that he can't get a job in?
Well, he moved out of state.
That's right. Now, we got to the point where we are 200, 300, 400 blacks under staff.
Mm-hmm.
Understaff with 200 or 300. What am I saying? We 200 or 300 blacks we ought to have in the system we don't have. We can't find them. Then so we call a press conference, said to the people, we want some black teachers we can't find.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I knew darn well they would find them. They're correct. They're down gonna find them. And that's gonna be our problem, gonna be a big problem for the next 40 years. It's gonna take 40 years, even if we worked on it, start working on it today. It will take 40 years to get us back to equal employment opportunities in the education profession.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Atlanta, it just so happens that Atlanta has all the teachers, black teachers it needs. It needs some white teachers because we don't have the proportion of white teachers in the Atlanta school system. And that we ought to have based on number of white mm-hmm. students, not by 6,000 or 7,000 white students.
Let me ask you something else that's part of that. I heard reports when the staffs were integrated that the best black teachers were taken out of the black schools and sent to the white schools.
That's what they said?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
And it wasn't the case with the best white teachers going to the black schools.
Now, this is in the university, a statewide thing.
Yeah.
You would take... They would take the any outstanding black teacher from the outstanding black schools in the system and send them to five schools
in the whites.
In the whites. Yeah.
So the black kids are being deprived even more?
Yeah, that's right.
That's how I heard it, yeah.
They took the top teachers, so to speak,
yeah.
And I'm always reluctant to say it because many of the teachers got to the point that when they went to the white school, they felt that they were superior to the teachers on the left. That became a problem. Problem that maybe you and a lot of other people looked at. I looked at it, very concentrated. And they would get their chest stuck out. And see, it wasn't long before, it wasn't. 10 years later, many of them rushing to get, if they were still able to walk, had enough energy to teach them, they wanted to come back for the black situation.
Oh,
yes. Many of them did. And a few, again, I'm going 80-20.
Yeah,
that's some 20% there. Some who felt elated then and played it then, they still played it.
But the whole thing seemed to be to give the benefits to the white kids.
You know? That's what it was.
Better teachers, small enrollment.
Yeah. Right.
None of the white schools were on double sessions, I remember.
No, that's right. Not a one.
Yeah.
Best pupil plan. If they found a black kid, for instance, at Washington High School,
yeah,
who had an exceptionally great soprano voice. That black student was allowed to transfer to a white school.
Yeah.
They found a football player, you've seen this.
Oh, yeah.
Football, great football player.
you know, they let him go. I hadn't been to see a D student too. I'd never checked that. But he could go. Any black who excelled in anything in the school could be an orator.
Somebody could use.
Somebody could use, that's right. So really, that's right, isn't it? They degraded the program at the black student and degraded the program.
This happened in the 60s.
Yeah.
And for the average black kid who wanted to transfer to white school, he had a tough time.
Oh, yes. Yes.
The efforts to keep black schools in double session, do you think there was this effort to maintain the black schools in double sessions while the white schools are being underused? I read someplace that if the school student body had been distributed pretty evenly around the city, there would be no real reason to build new schools in the classrooms, that there were enough spaces in the white schools to take the black overpopulation.
During the 60s, I would question whether or not we had enough white schools to take care of the crime.
Yeah.
But I would say we would not.
Yeah. How about efforts to upgrade black schools to keep the black community happy where they were? So it wouldn't be interesting to go to white school.
That effort didn't come about in wholesale scale until it was
so. Yeah, I heard a lot of things about Supreme Court schools.
They started upgrading black schools, and they upgraded mental equipment supplies.
And how about new schools as well?
Yeah, new schools too.
Everything to keep the black community in the black community.
In the black community, that's right.
Let's talk with one of the people, and he said that as soon as the black community began sort of shifting towards a white neighborhood and going towards a school, heading that way, the school system would put up a school in that path, a black school, so they'd be stuck there and wouldn't be interested in going to the white school.
Yeah, I think that was better.
No, I mean, the whole feeling I get is that there was no real commitment to desegregation at all.
That was not the commitment to a desegregated school system that would become permanent. There was commitment to enough desegregation to satisfy the Supreme Court decision.
Okay.
So you can not show that the no one was like,
well, I think there were some complaints that Letson only did what the courts told him to do.
Letson only did what the courts told him. They didn't do what the courts told him. Letson did on enough to get by as well. But as relates to desegregation.
Well, he didn't pass it. He passed by the whites. He didn't pass it by
the whites. Passed by the white folks. Well, that was always, was I have, but one of them. Well, one of the biggest arguments I had with a white superintendent about desegregation is when, during the period of desegregation, I was, as I said, executive director of the State Teachers Association, and I went to make, we had what we call regional meetings, and our meeting was held in Waycross, Georgia. This particular case, and I don't know when it was, 65 or 64 or 63 or 68, but this association, the Georgia Teachers and Education Association at that time, had developed a few four or five little guidelines for and for the school. So we said, in our present situation, if you want to put the white principal over to the black school. Step one toward integrating schools, okay, that's all right with us, but let's put the black principal in the white school.
Right.
And right down the line, if you want to put four or five black teachers in over the white school, vice versa, let's do the black school. And I made a speech down in Waycross, and I said some of what I just told you.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, he wanted to put the white principal in the black school, but never cross line. So I made the speech. When I got through, the superintendent of one of the school systems in that region was there. He came to me and said, you don't quite understand what we're trying to do. He said, I heard your speech, you don't quite understand what we're trying to do. He said, you know, the white folk won't accept a black principal
in a white school. But the black folk will accept a white principal in a black school. I said, well, you probably don't understand either what black folk are saying. I said, now, many of them not going to say it because now they either say it, but they're thinking. I said, you'll put a white principal in a black school because you have the authority to do it. And I said, there are no blacks within the Board of Education before. They're not in the position. Mm-hmm. They don't, they're not the mayor of the city. They're not chairman of the county commissioners. I said, that can't stop you from doing it. And you put the black, the white principal in the black school. And you would be doing it because you have the power. But the black folk aren't accepting it. They can't tell you what I'm trying to tell you now. I said, now you use my statement rather than yours. I said, you might come up with some real integration. I said, but the way you're going to do it is not going to integrate school. I said, all you're doing is going to take a black principal's job.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah. And I got 50 more little bits out of that. I just happened to think about that.
I guess there was a lot of that. I guess the, I guess blacks lost jobs during that time if they were being replaced.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Lost jobs. Let me give you a case. This has nothing to do with that. You'll find a way to work this in video study. You'll work study somewhere. Even, now this was prevalent throughout Georgia. I'm gonna give you the name of this town so you can check that if you want to. Dalton, Georgia. Mm-hmm. They had a black school up there. The name of it was Emory Street School.
Mm-hmm.
I'd been to that, visited that school 8 or 10 times. And over a period of 8 years, the principal, they had two principals during the 8-year period. I think one's name was Hightower and the other's name was Bush. Yeah, Bush was the last one. In fact, Bush ended up in the central office after immigration. They had asked that they would put a fence around the school class. There was a fence around the school to keep what they call the unsavory element of the campus. They had asked for carpeting for their floors, the library. They had asked for an upgrading of school. So the principal must have shown me over a period of 8 years, some 6 or 7 requests they had made, old books and supplies, and I fixed the cafeteria, things like that. It was never done. Eventually, the Dalton school system decided to come up with an integration policy. So they were integrated. So from the end of one school term, which was last of May, the 1st of June, until September, the opening of school, when they decided to integrate, there was a fence up around the black school, the carpeting was all over the school, not only in the library, but all over the school, the lunch room was fixed up, everything. Within three months after they decided to integrate, what principals had been trying to get them to do 8 years.
Yeah.
Now, Evelton, my hometown, is a good example of that. Waycross, Georgia, is an example of that. Dalton, Georgia, is a good example of that.
Was it an attempt to get the black kids in that school then? I mean, they were trying to fix it up to get the black kids there, or what? In Dalton?
No, well, see, the principals who were black during the time I'm talking in Dalton, the schools were segregated then.
Yeah. So this is what, in other words...
And the principals just wanted to get their schools upgraded. They wanted good supplies and equipment and good environment, conducive for learning.
In other words, once the white kids were being brought in...
That's right.
Oh, okay.
As soon as the white kids were brought in, the fence went up.
Did that happen here, too, in Atlanta? Yeah.
Well, Atlanta, we had a different... We had sort of the most sophisticated way of doing it. We built Douglas High School, which is still the top school. We built several other buildings around here, and we made efforts to transport kids against the law school. So what I'm saying was not as prevalent in Atlanta. You couldn't see it as easily as you could in a smaller school system. But there were efforts made before integration to supply the schools in Atlanta with school books.
Once the whites were coming into the schools?
Well, the whites never came into the schools.
I know, then once the once
the... No, I think at the time they were... They just thought that it was time. I won't say that Duncan had written, because on the left side, I don't think he did things in Richmond. So it was, you know, if there weren't enough books in the school, I think he just decided that we need to have some books over there and start putting them there. I won't say that it was for the purpose of forestall immigration, because there was no great effort in Atlanta to transfer children from the black community to a white community schools until somebody came up with the M&M plan.
Yeah, which came later.
Yeah, it came later. And so I won't say that it was done in Atlanta at purpose. The biggest thing that happened in Atlanta, as far as I am concerned, was that proximity, capacity, and choice, and also giving the white adults enough time move out of the school.
I
had a fuss with the
doctor. Let me just turn this up.
Always wanted to put the school board, and that was under Dr. Nelson.
Yeah.
We're going to transfer Dr. Curie to move my bed. It was over at Price High School. We're going to transfer Dr. Curie to now. For the white principal of Price High School.
Mm-hmm. This is about what, 60s, mid-60s?
This would have had to be back in 63 or 64. Okay. Because I wasn't on the school board, and I went on the school board in 65. And I heard about this, and a PTA meeting was held over at Arch. Well, a district PTA meeting was held in Atlanta, and I was the main speaker. Dr. Lesson preceded me as a speaker, and he told the truth about all these of my friends and their friends. And one thing he mentioned was, they're going to change the principal from black to white. They had no plans again for changing the black principal to white people. And I did something I've never done before in my life. I don't think I've done it since. I completely forgot the speech. Completely didn't give the speech that I planned to give. And I just did a talk 15 minutes. And in essence, I was saying to the parents, and the audience was 99% black.
Mm-hmm.
I said that, I don't know how many of you agree with Dr. Lesson's plan, but I said, we need it right. I said, just forget my grandma, he just ain't right. Dr. Lesson was sitting there. I said, I want him to hear what I'm saying. I said, I'm sorry, I hope I don't insult him. But I said, number one, Dr. Lesson, this is one time that we are not going to accept transfer of white person to Price High School unless you can come up with a plan to transfer of white person to Price High School. I said, we're not going to accept that. I said, I'm going to test my so-called leadership ability and see whether you're going to do it. And I said, I'm here to tell you today that we are not going to stand for it. Whatever this we mean, we're not going to stand for it. And so this may be your way of integrating schools, and you may, I use the word, and you may be sincere in what you're doing. I said, but I don't see it. Well, sincerity to me would mean if you can put a white man over at Price High School, you can take the principal of Price High School, put him over into the white school.
What was his reaction?
His reaction was red face, negative.
Didn't do it.
He didn't do it. No, he never did.
I mean, did he put the white in Price? Oh, he didn't do anything.
He didn't do it. Didn't do it.
Also curious about your opinion on the school compromise of 73. You know, the,
what do they call him?
Well, they brought in Krim, but also they pretty much gave up the idea of busing, and they pretty much agreed to bring black administrators in as opposed to trying to really desegregate the school system anymore. Do you think that was the only thing that could have been done at that time, given the...
Well, I would say, as I remember that now, I was pleased, I was in agreement with the need for more blacks in the hierarchy. I didn't, yes. Listen? Yeah, okay. Did you turn the air conditioner on time, please?
Yes.
You did?
Yes. I thought it was okay with it. Okay.
You wouldn't tell me what, excuse me, sir.
You tell me what?
So the school compromise.
D, you'd have to, in order for me to answer that as objective as I know how, you'd have to sort of pick it out. Of course, the biggest thing I remember about that now was that we were going to get additional administrators, black administrators. I agreed with that. I agreed with getting additional administrators. I agreed with placing blacks in top administrative positions. I didn't agree with the total aspect of how it was going to be done. And I don't remember now what it was that...
Well, I remember the NAACP got all upset about it because they felt that they were pushing for the busing scheme, trying to just integrate on that basis. And I think Lonnie King felt that there weren't enough white students to bus anymore, and a lot of black parents didn't want their kids being bused. So instead of doing that, instead of emphasizing the students, emphasize the administration, at least they'll get control over the school board, the system that makes policy.
Well, that aspect I agree with. I would say that I agree with many aspects of the compromise plan. Some I didn't. But I didn't get the plan again.
I was curious, you're an executive secretary of the Georgia Teachers and Education Association.
That was a black association at that time, from 61 to 70. I was the director of the statewide Black Education Association.
And it was made up of teachers and anybody in the education?
Anybody in the education profession. And then 70, the two statewide associations, Black and White, moved.
Okay.
So we had the Georgia Education Association, Georgia Teachers and Education Association. We merged in 1970. And as usual, I became the associate of the merged group. And I remained associate exec until 1977. Then I became the executive secretary of the merged group. In 1977, I remained that until 82.
How long have you been state senator when you were elected there?
I was elected state senator in 74. But I was holding the position of state senator and the executive secretary.
Okay, the school system, I agree in terms of what Lexington seemed to be doing during that time. I saw it as a very slow process. This whole grade a year plan seemed to be something that, first of all, you don't start from the
top.
You start from the bottom. And I couldn't understand why they were fighting.
Well, I sat down once, I don't know what time it was, but I sat down once and said that if you put students in the 12th grade this year, I think I used 30. Let's put 30 12th grade blacks in the Dunbar White School. You just got 30 of it,
right.
So they graduate at the end of that year, they leave you with none. So next year, I assume you put 30 in the 12th grade and 30 in the 11th grade. And so this second year, the ones in 12th grade graduate. And then that 11th grade, you get to 12th. So I figured that it would take 20 years. I think it was 20 years, and I'd have to go back. I have this somewhere. I had planned to write on it. I had never done it. I feel ashamed of myself for not having done it. But it would have taken, it was either 20 or 21 years to get blacks in every school, every grade in the school, as opposed to 11 years if you did first, second, and third grade.
So I think probably would have more accepted on the first grade basis.
Oh, sure.
Rather than the years when everybody's dust dating, I guess that's where parents get uptight about things.
That's great. And also, that to me shows that the gentleman who proposed that, or whoever they were who proposed it, were not sincere about any grading.
Well, that's before lesson, but,
Really, yeah, Pam, before lesson, yeah,
okay. It was before him, but, he kept it. I mean, he didn't move beyond the court system. He just did what the court told him to do, pretty much. And,
Jail for lesson,
yeah.
Okay, well, I always end up with problems as I get older. When I was young, I didn't have the problem. I didn't have the problem about guessing one's motives when I was young. I said, hell, you know it was not right. It just didn't have the motives. I tried to give the person the benefit of the doubt, man. That's why you hear me saying death by the best of your sincere. He might have been personally sincere. He was playing for it. He was playing it. That was planted in the way he was cool. I think he was a smart man. None of this takes away from his ability to operate schemes. He had that. I had no problem. He had the ability. He thought he could think very well. He organized well.
Because he saw himself as between the black community that wanted immediate desegregation and the white community that didn't want any. He saw himself as being in the middle between the two hostile groups. I guess in some ways he was.
And he came up with a plan that I'm assuming came out of his mind. But he apparently did not confer with black educators.
I don't know if Benjamin Mays was involved.
Well, Clements was black man on the school board, and he was the fair-haired fella who basically was not attuned to black wishes, desires, etc.
He just wanted to get along.
That's right. And when I got on the board, it wasn't until Dr. Clements died. Dr. Clements died. I don't know if he had a heart attack or not, but it was a sudden death. It wasn't until Dr. Clements died that I was even recognized as being a member of that board, despite the fact that when I was on the board, I had a doctorate degree and I had more experience than Clements with the public school system.
You were on the same time Clements was on.
Oh, yeah. But Clements was there first. Clements was there when I became a member of the board. I became a member of the board in 65. And if I recall correctly, Dr. Clements was on the board.
I think he was on the board from the 50s.
It was probably late 50s or something. But I think he was first appointed to the board. And he was just there. But basically, he was there. That's what it amounted to. He was there.
He didn't challenge.
Yeah. Can I tell you something that has nothing to do with another race?
Yeah, sure.
We'll cut that off. If you might, but then you may. I don't care.
Well, okay, good. Cool.
I became a member of the Atlanta School Board in 65.
Yeah.
And after I became a member of the board, someone challenged my right to serve. Now, challenging my right to serve came about as a result of this. The fellow that I won over had stated publicly that he wasn't interested in serving anymore. I've forgotten his name. He was a well-respected white fellow. But he had said in the newspaper, in the press, that he wasn't particularly interested in serving in this particular district representative any longer. And if anybody qualified for the position, he probably wouldn't qualify. So I saw that. So I was the first black to run. Now, Clements was on there. I said, I don't think Clements ran initially. But anyway, I ran for the position. I went down to qualify. And when I got there, I think it was the last day. I should have had something to qualify for, but I didn't. Qualified on the last day, and the gentleman who said he wasn't going to run was there. And I saw him. I said, well, I saw that you said you wouldn't qualify. There was somebody else who decided they wanted a position, so I'm coming here to qualify. I want to inform you there. He said, you're going to qualify? I said, yes, I am. He said, well, since I'm down here, I think I just want to qualify. I said, well, that wasn't what you said. He said, no, but I think I'm qualified. I said, well, I want you to know that you have a position. And I went still around. But after he went on qualified, I guess I had some doubts about what I could do. So I didn't qualify. After the qualifying deadline was over at 5 o'clock that evening, he qualified. He had no opposition except for that. Next week, there were two or three fellas who complained that they wanted to qualify for some positions on the board and city council.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't have the money. They filed a suit in court, Judge Pye's court. Judge Pye ruled that people should not be kept from qualifying positions because they had money. So he opened the qualifying rules. He declared everybody qualified null and void. He opened the books again. I don't know whether it was 1 week or 2 weeks. So during this time, I went down. I decided then that I was going to run. This second chance, I guess the Lord opened it for me. That's what I think. So I said, well, I went down with my money. I paid my qualifying fee and qualified.
Yeah.
And the other fellows who Judge Pye owned the books for, they qualified. They didn't pay any fee. So when the books closed, I qualified in that interview. Okay, now when I won the position, I beat my opponent by 8,000 votes. He was well as next time. Now, after I got on the board, Dr. Lesson, it was, I can't prove this, but I know he was behind. Dr. Lesson didn't want me on that board. But see, this was at a time when I had to fuss with him over that PTA meeting I was telling you about. And several other things.
You think he put the other guy up to it, the right guy up to it?
To
qualify to run against you?
I don't know, but he might have. The guy who was on the board, who was already on the board, I don't know what he put. He probably did. But no, what he put somebody up to was filing a suit to keep you from serving. This is the point I'm trying to get to.
On what basis?
Oh, on the basis that I qualified during the interim. The interim between the time that the judge opened the books, and I should have, if I were really bona fide interested, I should have qualified initially, and I didn't do it. And okay. We held a meeting, and I said that is background. I'll tell you that. I was at home one Sunday morning. I got a call from somebody who was calling Dr. Lesson. Dr. Lesson wanted all board members to meet out to the Instructional Services Center out on Highway I-75. It used to be the old Chrysler place. How long have you been around?
14 years.
Oh, and you know something about it. Anyway, the Instructional Services Center is out there. Now, that was old Chrysler building. But we held a meeting out there. We never held a board meeting out there before, to my knowledge. So my first thought, why don't we go have that meeting? Why don't we be downtown? But I said, okay, the meeting was going to be at 2 or 3 o'clock on Saturday. And I said, I'll be there. So 3 o'clock, meeting started. I think it was 2 or 3 o'clock, the meeting started. Everybody was there. So, Dr. Letson, and Dr. Clemens was not the chairman of the board. And I believe it was Dr. Cook, Ed Cook, was chairman of the board. Ed Cook opened the meeting and he turned it over to Dr. Letson immediately. Dr. Letson said, well, we are calling this meeting for the purpose of trying to straighten out a little something that's bothering several members of the board and keep them in the community. He said, but I want to turn it over to Dr. Clements and let Dr. Clements explain what it's all about. So now the meeting was all about this. He said, well, Dr. Tate, the meeting is really called about your situation. I said, what is my situation? He said, well, there's a little haze over your right to be on the board, whether or not you're on the board. And somebody has filed a suit to challenge your seat, because you should be there. And this was, now we were sworn in on January 3rd, I knew that. This is about, I guess, February or March. And so I have a way of asking you a few things to do. I said, well, Dr. Vincent, I'm here in the way. This meeting's called because of me, you want to have something to say about my position on the board. He said, yes, yes, he repeated himself. Well, there's some people who wonder whether or not you're a bona fide board member, whether you ought to be sitting here with all those board members. What we'd like for you to do is to step aside until the court's finally decided. And I said, I made him repeat that. I said, well, what would you like me to do? And then I think Dr. Letson's hands stepped in and we go for it. So I said, well, I hope I understand you fellows right. I said, but maybe you all haven't dealt with each other before. I said, I want to tell you one thing. I ain't going to step aside from that. I said, let me ask you a few questions. I said, number one, how many votes did you get out of 10 this time? He got a few votes, fewer votes than I did. I said, how many did you get? How many did I just, I was big on it. No, I wasn't being naive, but I was being sarcastic and adamant, really. And I asked all of them, I don't know what you did. I said, when were you all sworn in being in this board? I said, let's see, wasn't I sworn the same time? And I said, well, what in the heck do you expect me to step aside, to have a judge decide that I'm entitled to hold a seat that I'm already holding? I said, I'd be stupid. You don't think I'm that stupid, do you? Oh, we had a nice, interesting discussion for 15, 20 minutes over there.
Did they drop it?
They didn't drop the suit. No, they said, I'll tell you what did happen. There was a fellow on the board named, well, Mrs. Sarah Mitchell.
Yeah.
Sarah Mitchell and I really, I think, wanted to integrate schools. But if anybody else that wanted to integrate schools, I don't know what they did after that.
Comments didn't want to integrate schools?
Who?
Rufus Clements?
He didn't want to? No. Clements, well, if he did, he never showed it. Clemens wanted to do whatever Letson wanted to do.
So he was his voice.
And that's right.
So in other words, he didn't want to block the idea.
He didn't want to block. He would always find a way to support Letson. Letson and Latin.
Okay. So Letson didn't want to block me on the board who would speak up.
That's it. That's all we're thinking. And that's it. Mrs. Mitchell was a white lady, but she was I'm gonna use the word objective in her thinking. She seemed to express what I would call it, that's what I tried to do. It just so happened, you know, I think that's because black folks are the ones who always got the worst end of all deals and they got the furthest to go and all to make up, so you know, I had to express that point of view. But I said to them, no, I'm not going to step aside. And so then Mitchell said, well, Dr. Taylor, I want you to know one thing. I wasn't for this meeting. Now, see, they knew what the meeting was about. I didn't.
Right.
I was just that scared. She said, I wasn't for this meeting. I told them that it wasn't necessary, but I came on because it was going to be more. And so Mr. Shell said, Dr. Taylor, I want you to know the same thing. He said, I came to the meeting because he asked for me. Yes, both of these things. He said, but I ain't for that position. And eventually one other person, there were eight or nine of us. So eventually I think Dr. Letson and Mr. Cook said, well, gentlemen, we came to solve the problem. And Dr. Taylor said, you're not going to step down, so I'm just there.
So you were the second black on the board of
second
Senate.
Black on the board.
Who was the third? Ashley Yancey? Was he the third?
Yeah, that's right. Yancey got the F.
How was he in terms of speaking to the black community?
not as he's not there for service. But now, you may know something about black, white, and white, black folk, and white folk. You may not know as much about customs, traditions, and memories, and general class status. Clements was not from the same kind of black status background I was from. Now, my focus, going to church, going to school, was part of what you do. We didn't have any status. My daddy was in the state, and nobody bothered him because he was a working man. He took care of his family, took care of his children. But Clements came from the home of a bishop. His daddy was a bishop. Well, I'll put it this way. Whatever black folks had, from the standpoint of status, I guess house living in, Clemens came in there. That's right. So, and so was, I said Clemens also, Yancey. Yes, both of them. And see, not until I left there some years later, they get some black folk on the board. You got D.F. Lover now, which they don't like. You got, and then you got, well, they have had some black folk on the, some blacks, some guys who know what black problems are on the board.
It's funny, when I spoke to Lesson, I told him I was speaking for some other people who were on the board during that time. I mentioned your name. He said, well, he thinks a better person to speak to might be Yancey.
Oh, sure, I'm telling you. Sure, be Yancey. The point to carry his point of view was Yancey.
That's why I knew I had to speak to you.
Well, Yancey, now I want to say again, here again, see, Yancey was a product of his environment.
He's a doctor, right?
Indeed. He's never a doctor. He never. That's what he is now. That's what he was when he got on the board. And, well, so that gives you, he's never, I never get hungry either. I can tell that line. My dad said this, but my point is he might have had a Packard car or an Oldsmobile, whatever his Buicks, when my dad had a Chevrolet from Plymouth, and I don't think that they didn't quite see the black quality that much. See, I went to the board also with not only my own background, but a background of having worked with schools all over the state, and black and white situation. I knew about them, and some of them didn't have this background.
Well, he sounded like Letson wanted people he could just browbeat. He didn't want people who would speak his line, not people who would object to him.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. They built a school over there. They built Douglas High School over there. Go check that out now.
Yeah.
They built the school, and they didn't put any. There may be four or five little windows around the whole school. And they came up with the idea of school. I said, look, I know I'm not living in a dog age. And I said, I think I'm as modern as anybody else. I said, who in the hell ever heard of a school? I said, well, look, who the hell ever heard of a school building, a whole school building, constructed, and no windows?
Okay.
Well, I said, this is ridiculous. Now, that was one concept they came up with.
Why was that?
That was a new trend. Some architect came up with this plan. I said, well, if I can put it out that north side. I said, put it in the north side. Let's just people take it out there.
Yeah.
But they, I voted me. And they went on and put the school building up there. Now they're trying to get some windows out there. They came up with the open classroom concept. Yeah. I've been a school man all of my life. I said, gentlemen, the open classroom concept might work in communities where the children are really middle class and up, aristocratic kind of kids. I said, but it ain't gonna work in Atlanta school system if you're gonna educate kids from the lower social economic strata. You don't need open classrooms. I said, you got to have a situation where these kids can be enclosed like they have been for years, so the teacher can get to them and work with them without a lot of distraction otherwise.
So you think this was racial decisions they were making? Do you think?
I won't say that I'm not going to say that Douglas High School was a racial situation. I think Douglas High School was just the brainchild of some architect who wanted to come up with a new plan.
Yeah.
But the open classroom concept for kids in the low socioeconomic strata, I would want to think that, I'm not going to say it was totally racial. It was just a new concept that wasn't really.
But they tried it first here.
They tried it here in Atlanta, yeah. Open classroom concept. Now they're trying to, at this time, they're trying to put petitions in the school lounge.
Back to that.
That's right. And the people have decided now that they aren't working, so.
Let me go to another topic. You were the first black candidate for mayor back in 69.
Right.
I was curious why some of the black community supported Michelle over the years. What was the basis for that?
Because four people in this community, the black community, specifically the top black leaders, Eddie King, Leroy Johnson, Sam Williams, Jesse and Dick. In essence, got together about two or three days before the election, made a television appearance. Leroy and Jesse had to come ahead of it, as I saw it, in which they got on the television, got on the airwaves, and said, "Black, you know, you look TV, you look basically like Dr. Tate's a good guy. He's a great contribution to education, etc. But he can't win the position as mayor of the city. And we would like you all to vote for the next best candidate who can win." So, and the next best candidate, of course, was in the city.
So they thought it was too early for a black to become mayor at 69, I guess.
Well, that, I'm not going to say they didn't, I'm not going to say that wasn't a part of no. I think that was jealousy. They knew that I had the black, community behind me until they said that. And they were with me. There were more, 90% of the blacks in Atlanta had decided to vote for me until they made that appearance. Well, I didn't have the status that Daddy King had. I wasn't trying to fight it. Daddy King had the status. I didn't know how much he was done, but he had some status. And Jesse, you know. And Sam Williams. Do you ever have Sam?
Oh, yeah.
Sam Williams and Leroy. Leroy was a senator. And they had status. And if each one was able to siphon all 3,000 votes, you see.
Yeah. Do you think they were putting all their support in behind Maynard Jackson for vice mayor? That was the deal?
Yeah, that was the idea. I don't know. At that time, they might have been, but I don't think Maynard was the vice mayor. He ran for vice mayor.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
of course, you know it's no problem to get him. If you and I were to go out here something today, you and I could run for governor and lieutenant governor right now. As long as you run for governor, you can get me in. I just
thought maybe they thought it was too soon for the whites to accept a black mayor and a black vice mayor.
It was too soon for the blacks to, as far as Leroy, Daddy King, Sam Williams, and Jess Hill were concerned. It was too soon for the blacks to elect Horace Tate, who didn't go to them to ask him, "May I run?" I didn't ask him anything. Because I had a greater black following at that time than anybody else had. Because of my position as chief of citizenship. And I don't mean that to be bragging, you know, I can't prove that either.
Well, you got the votes. You got the black votes.
I showed that I got votes. And I got votes. I beat, as I said, when I ran for voter education, I got the biggest vote that's ever been gotten against anybody. I won that thing, and my opponent got 20,000 votes, I got 28. And I got some white votes out of that. All of the votes went black, but I got...
So you think because they didn't make the choice that you made
the choice? If Leroy had been the candidate at that time, initially, they would have said, "Let's get Leroy."
Okay. You weren't part of that, were you, sir?
No, I wasn't part of it. Never have been, and never desired to be in
it. But was there pressure from the white community at all on you to drop out of the race or not to run? You didn't hear anything from Ivan Allen or those people?
Oh, Ivan was neutral. As neutral as, you know, as far as I know, as he could be. Have you read Ivan's book?
Yeah, I've spoken to him too.
Did you see anything in there about Ivan? Did you see a statement in there that at least implied that blacks have stuck me out of the one?
Oh, I didn't see it.
It's in there.
I know he didn't like myself. I know that.
There was something in there about that. Ivan told me that, you know, after the election, he told me that, I don't know whether it was 2 weeks after 2 weeks after, he said, "You know, we took a poll 3 months before the election and showed that you were in fourth place." He said, we took a poll 2 months before the election and you were in third place. We took a poll a month before the election, you were in second place. We took a poll 1 week before the election, you were in second place, but you were gaining points by search leaps and bounds. That if the momentum for you had continued the last week, like it did 1 week before the election, you would have beat your nearest opponent with 8,000 vote margin without a runoff. That's what I was told. See, I didn't have the money to pose.
So he was willing to back you? I mean, he was willing to...
He never opposed me as far as...
Yeah, okay.
Ivan Allen never opposed me. Never said a negative thing about me. I never saw him engaging in this. I never did. But I didn't have the maybe the sophistication that was necessary to be the real bona fide pure politician, you know, at that time. And even though I think I have it now, there's still something in me that doesn't allow me to. Some people use the word will and deal, like other fellows and all that. I don't believe in getting a position at all costs. I didn't then, I still don't. And, because I haven't been able to bring myself around and doing some of the things that I have heard that other politicians did and other than that. And I do that. I still believe that there are. You know, I am in a political position to do something good for the country. I may be wrong.
And in 73, you didn't want to try it again, I guess. I guess by that time...
I accomplished what I was trying to accomplish. But I was running for mayor. I was trying to win. So I don't want to upset that city. But I wanted to also prove that a black could get elected. You know, people would pick the left or right. And that point was made. I made that.
Of course, by 73, the blacks were the majority registered voters in America. So by 73, certainly, they had votes.
Oh, yes. But you see, before that time, there were some people who had the idea that a black might not be able to win. Blacks won't accept and whites won't either.
Yeah.
But see, after my election, there were a lot of blacks in Atlanta the day after the election who, sensing how close I was to winning, and knowing that they switched their vote because of Leroy, Jess and Daddy King, and those four people, and that they said to me that, those fools led us down the wrong path. You could have won the position. I've had any number back there. You could have won. They said, I didn't vote for you, but it wasn't because I didn't like you. I didn't vote for you because I thought they were right.
Were you part of that, the Atlanta Negro Voters League? Were you active in that at all?
The what?
Atlanta Negro Voters League?
But
you weren't part of that ruling coalition that probably...
They didn't ever.
Yeah. I mean, that was Leroy Johnson. That was Daddy King. That was... You
know, no, I didn't.
And even Maynard Jackson, I mean, his grandfather, Dobbs.
What? Well, Maynard Jackson's granddaddy was a bona fide black
man. Yeah.
I told Mayor, when you ran for mayor, I said, you know, I want you to know that I'm going to support you. But it ain't because of you or what you've done, but you're better. I'm going to support you because of your granddaddy. Yeah. Then he asked me something about it. He didn't know as much about his granddaddy as I did when it came to political activity. Dobbs was a real black leader who was for equality. He was the greatest guy. Years before Maynard, I guess her name was Lord. And so Maynard got a lot of votes because
that's how it works.
But I think Maynard, basically, didn't get all right.
Yeah.
I will vote for him again one time. He's going to run again.
I hope he runs together.
He's going to run
together. Yeah. Well, thanks a lot. That's.